Trademarks. We recognize a variety of logos from food and beverage outlets, clothing stores, automobile manufacturers, and other consumer products. A key trademark for the Christian faith is love. Jesus stressed this priority as he identified the two great commandments. First, a wholehearted love for God, and second, a wholehearted love for others. In addition to this, he gave his early followers a new commandment as he gathered with them in the upper room. John 13, 34 and 35 records him saying, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." He has never withdrawn this command. The question is, are we concerned about obeying it? Are we truly marked or trademarked by God's love? Blessings from the desk of Pastor Keith. The Ajax Baptist Church Sunday Morning Reload, February 9, 2020. On behalf of Pastor Keith Edwards and the entire family here at Ajax Baptist, we're delighted that you've joined us for this week's Sunday Morning Reload. The text is 1 Corinthians 13, and the message is entitled, "What Love Is This? The Trademark of Our Church?" Now, here's Pastor Keith.
Well, we are going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is not on the screen, but I'm sure you have a Bible, or certainly there is one in the pew. And in the notes this morning, you'll see another version, another translation of 1 Corinthians 13. This is from the Message. Sometimes a different translation or a different paraphrase sort of gives us a fresh look at what the gospel is all about. But I'll be reading from the New International Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is, of course, written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. This was the church in Lower Greece. The city of Corinth still exists today, of course, and is a strategic center for Greek culture. The Greek nation has gone through a lot of transition, a lot of change, and as Paul established the gospel for this church had a lot of questions. One of the things we want to encourage is to ask and then be able to answer questions. So Paul writes back to the church, and he's answering for them the questions that they've asked. They didn't have any smartphones or dumb phones, whatever we want to call them. They didn't have text messages, but somehow on probably papyrus or some, maybe animal skin, they had written Paul a letter with their concerns. So if you look back in chapter 12, verse 1, I just want you to notice four words. Chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now about spiritual gifts." So this is the topic for chapters 12, 13, and 14. They'd written him with questions. They'd written him with concerns. It was a church, according to chapter 1, that he says lacked no spiritual gifts. So they had a lot of capacity. There was a lot of ministry happening, but there were a lot of challenges and a lot of problems. It was a church that was filled with division. Everybody had their favorite preacher. Do you have a favorite preacher? Don't put your hand down, right? Some were saying, "I'm of Paul." Others were saying, "I'm of Apollos." Third were saying, "Well, I'm of Peter." And then the real spiritual ones say, "Well, I follow Jesus," right? So there was division. You imagine they had their favorite speaker, they had their favorite leader, and they began to polarize, and Paul said, "You're causing a lot of difficulty. Your meetings do more harm than good." Can you imagine that being said of a church? Your meetings, your gatherings together, your meetings do more harm than good. He was really saying to them, "Listen, if you don't change, God can't use you the way he wants to use you." So, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, now we're in the middle of this teaching on spiritual gifts. Paul writes, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Well, this month we are tackling the question, what love is this? What love is this? When you think of God loving us, for God so loved the world, what love is that? Or when you think of God's demand for his people to love him, you recall Jesus taking the 613 commandments or 10 commandments and summarizing them with just two. He was asked his opinion. We've referenced this before, but for those of you who are visiting, just to catch you up, Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment? And without a moment's hesitation, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your might. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Again, I ask, what love is this? What kind of love does God demand from us? Total love. We're all in. Now, I would dare say in this culture, in this week, even on my wife's birthday, which happens to be Valentine's Day, there'll be a lot of talk about love. Would you agree? Oh, people will say, oh, I love you. Well, at least till tomorrow, right? I love you at least until this wonderful dinner at the top of the CN Tower has to be paid for, right? You know, there are just so many ways. We talk about, you know, I love, and people say, oh, I love, and they use that expression for food. And then we ask kids, you know, how much do you love me? You know, and, you know, we get them to kind of show and stretch out if they're grandkids, and, you know, we kind of push them to demonstrate in some way. And some of our cultures are more demonstrative than others. Would you agree? Some of us, you know, someone's coming to give us a hug and we're going, I've been talking to Elaine about that. She's been trying to educate me on how important it is. Well, it's just different, right? Each culture, right? Some cultures, when you greet them, you kiss on both cheeks, and that's just normal. It's just, but it's different for some of us who maybe are from a little more staid, you know, where, you know, we're WASP, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, we're kind of lurking in the shadows. Others are very expressive, right? They greet you like this. Because we want to show love. And there's a variety of ways that we show love. So today's study is really asking ourselves, what trademark, is love the trademark of our church? Because in addition to those two commands, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus said there in the upper room, after he'd washed their feet, that's what we looked at last week, but as he was gathered with his disciples, reclining in that upper room around that table made so famous by Leonardo da Vinci at the Last Supper, he said to them, a new commandment. Now think of it. They already had heard 613, and they were having difficulty obeying them. Anybody have difficulty obeying the commandments? Okay. We need the help of God. We need someone to obey them perfectly for us, and we have that someone in Jesus, who said, I always do those things which please the Father. What a Savior. What a Savior. What love is this? But there at the end of the meal, he said, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So what's the greatest way in Ajax in 2020 to spread the gospel? Love one another. So the people who come in and look at the way a healthy church is functioning say they really love each other. Now we're talking about trademarks. What is a trademark? A trademark is any name, symbol, figure, letter, word. Don't you like the way dictionaries? I mean, by the time you're done, you're going, oh, I just wanted a word, right? Any name, symbol, figure, letter, word, or mark adopted and used by a manufacturer or merchant in order to designate specific goods. There's some creative one. Next slide. Recognize any of these? I mean, you can be traveling. You can be on a missionary journey, joining Brian and one of his jaunts around the world, and you get to a country, you don't know a word of the local language, and you see two arches, golden arches. What do you know is there? Right? But you don't, first of all, it gives you hope and say, hey, some real food. No. Now, the food that may be there, I've been in some of the countries, I won't name them, but in some of the countries, what's under the golden arches inside the restaurant is certainly not what it looks like in Canada. The chicken's not quite like chicken. The fries don't taste like fries. It's just different, isn't it? Facebook. You know, 20 years ago, if you said, talk to someone about Facebook, they're saying, Facebook? Facebook. What's Facebook? Now, kids grow up. It's their second language, isn't it? Or Instagram, or WhatsApp, or all of the different social media tools. Our world has changed. All this, you know, the brands for things you wear, Barbie and John Deere if you're from a farm, or the, you know, the symbol. Starbucks doesn't even have to put on their name. People just see it and they identify with it. Trademarks are powerful tools. I had a friend who worked with Nike. What's their motto? Anybody? Just do it, right? Somebody probably, I remember as a kid taking a pen one time and marking it on a paper. I don't think I got paid thousands of dollars to do it. It's just like, whew. And that's a famous logo, infamous logo, worth thousands. It's their brand. Well, I ask you, as we come to this topic, what love is this? Let's move forward. When it comes to topics to discuss with other Christians, one of the topics that will create a lot of interest is that of spiritual gifts. Would you agree? If you want to have an interesting conversation, start talking with other people about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. I grew up in northeastern Ontario, as I've told you, and in our high school, we had a Christian fellowship group, and in that group, half of the group was from a Baptist background and half were Pentecostal. It made for some interesting discussion. We had a great time. And we had to work together, right? We're Christians. We saw things just a little bit differently. Their music was a little livelier in those days. But we worked together and realized that collectively we're brothers and sisters in Christ. But if we wanted an interesting discussion, we would talk about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Now, when it comes to spiritual gifts, there on the screen, there are three types that are identified in Scripture. The first type, as the gospel, particularly in the book of Acts, as it came into a new region, you saw evidence of sign gifts. Miracles, wonders, signs, demonstrations of God's power. Sometimes when the gospel has gone into new tribal areas, there are powerful healings, powerful evidences of God's grace, because there is a demonstration that God is greater than any of the gods that the people are worshiping. Now, what happens? Do all cultures experience the same thing? What happens as the church gets established? What happens as the Bible gets translated into the language of the people? Now you start to see some other gifts. And the two other types of gifts, in fact, one of my favorite passages of the Bible, we're not looking at it this morning, is 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. If you try to remember, if you want to study further on the topic of spiritual gifts, you have to remember four passages. Two fours and two twelves. Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. So if you remember number 4 and the number 12, you are well on your way to finding the key passages that deal with spiritual gifts. And when you come to 1 Peter 4, he is the most simple, basic instructor, preacher, teacher, apostle to deal with spiritual gifts. Here's what he says. You don't need to turn to it. I'll just quote it. Each one, that means each believer, should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. What's he saying? If you're a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit has given you some capacity. If anyone speaks, all right, there's the middle category. If anyone speaks, let him speak as one speaking the very words of God. That's awesome, isn't it? To think that when you speak, to give your testimony, to lead a Bible study, a men's Bible study, a ladies' Bible study, you get to preach, whatever the scenario is, you are speaking for God. That's a huge responsibility. Would you agree? So if anyone speaks, let him speak as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, there's next capacity. So you say, well, I'm not a speaker. That's not where I'm gifted, but I'm equipped to serve. You need God's strength to do it as well. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the purpose. Now, the question with these gifts, the speaking gifts and serving gifts, is where's the love? So turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians. Keep your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul is saying to this church, let me walk you through the gifts of the Spirit, but also the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You need both. You need the power of God to serve him, but you need the grace of God as you serve. And so he gives them, in verses 1 to 3, different possibilities, different suggestions. Number 1, verse 1, if I speak in the tongues or languages of men and of angels, all right, so I've got the capacity to speak in another language that is God-given, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. How many of you like orchestral music? Right? Now, it's nice when all the instruments are playing in harmony, isn't it? But if you go to a concert, sometimes they're warming up. Have you ever been there? And sometimes they're not quite in tune. You know, so just a little adjustment, and then the percussion people occasionally take their big, you know, mallet, and what do? Whack! And you say, whoa! I that's why they have to wear that ear protection, because it's so powerful. It's so loud, and by itself, you know, there's the right time. One of my favorite pieces of music is the 1812 Overture. I'm sorry, I'm not American, maybe I'm a closet American, I don't know. But seriously, at the 1812 Overture, on the 4th of July, I have to watch on the Boston Pops as they perform on the Boston Commons. And they finish the night with Keith, no namesake at all, performing or conducting the Boston Pops Philharmonic, singing or playing out the 1812 Overture. And it builds, right? You know what I'm talking about? And by the time they're done, the cannons are going off and the drums are going, and it's just a loud racket. It's deafening. Powerful. Paul says, listen, if you speak in the tongues of men and angels, but you don't have love, it sounds like that. It sounds like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. It's jarring. It's disruptive. It doesn't build up, it destroys, it brings down. Secondly, verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy. So here's a person who has a God-given gift to be able to speak truth. There's, in the Old Testament, prophecy maybe had more of a sense of predicting the future, but the prophet certainly spoke from God to the people. In the Old Testament, two major offices, among others, but were prophets and priests. The priest guided people into the presence of God. You went to the priest with your sacrifice. He was a Levite, and he would take your sacrifice. He would guide you into the presence of God. And every time we pray, we're functioning as priests. But the prophets spoke from God to the people. Thus says the Lord. This is what the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, says. And they would speak for God, and they would pronounce God's judgment, God's mercy, God's grace, whatever the need was. Now, in the New Testament, it seems prophecy has changed. Prophecy might be more like preaching. So if I have the gift, say, of preaching, and even if I can fathom all mysteries, if God has given me the capacity to understand some of the mysteries of His Word and all knowledge, I've got lots of biblical knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, mountain-moving faith, that'd be incredible, wouldn't it? But have not love? I'm nothing. So all the gifts, you can be the most gifted person in the world, but if you don't have love, that gifting won't accomplish what God desires. So we need both the gifts, but we need the fruit of the Spirit. Thirdly, if I give all I possess to the poor. Here's a person who's motivated to help the broken. Here's a person who's willing to sacrifice and give up in order so that the poor are helped. And then he says, and even surrender my body to the flames. Here's a person who's called even to be a martyr for Christ. We need to pray and need to remember to pray for the persecuted church, people who are actually laying down their lives because of their faith in Christ. Some of them don't have a choice. But here Paul is saying, if you had that choice, but you don't have love, you gain nothing. Now, my question is for you, what love is this? What kind of love? What kind of capacity, what kind of ministry by the Holy Spirit do we need in order to be transformed, in order to have an effective impact locally, regionally, nationally, internationally? Paul said, I'm glad you asked. Let's take a look. Verse 4. He begins in verses 4 to 7, and this is where we're going to concentrate in the balance of our study this morning, with a list of characteristics, with a list of qualities of the kind of love that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. Right? Galatians 5:22, another passage says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, or self-control. So, fruit is what will be produced if there's a proper root. Let me give you two illustrations. When we moved into our house in Oshawa in 2004, there was a grapevine by the back, near the back fence. It had not been cared for a long time, and there were 3 grapes at the end of the season. Now, there were 4 of us. I had 2 daughters and my wife, so I thought, well, I will sacrifice my grape. I'll give up so they can have it. Actually, the grapes are very bitter. They didn't want them either, but don't mention that. So we thought, well, it'd be kind of nice to have some grapes, just even for the appearance. They look so lovely. We could help the birds. So I said to my brother-in-law, who's from a Portuguese background, what do I do with this grapevine? I said, I got 3 grapes. I said, I'm not impressed. I can't take any pictures. Can't even talk to the neighbors properly. What does your crop grow? 3 grapes. Kind of embarrassing, don't you think? He said, Keith, you need to put it in the sheltered area. Okay. Near the neighbor's fence. All right. You need to fertilize it. You need to care for it. Prune it. The next year, we had 300 bunches. I couldn't believe it. I'm going, I said to the vine, what happened? Why didn't you do this last year? Why? It bore fruit. Pruned properly, nourished properly, with God's blessing, fruitfulness. Isn't that the way God has designed us to be? I am the vine, Jesus said, you are the branches. And we allow God to prune us and shape us so that we will be more fruitful. The second treasure that we had that was already on the property when we arrived was an apple tree. Now, the first year I had no idea. It came out and there was all blossomed. I didn't have to stand there and say, you know, Mr. Apple Tree, would you please produce apples this year? Again, properly pruned, properly cared for, it will produce apples because that's what it's designed to do. Spiritually speaking, what does God want to produce in your life and mine? The fruit of the Spirit. So who produces it? The Holy Spirit. How does He produce it? Through you. Through your life. As you surrender to Christ. As you follow Christ. As you say, Lord, I do not have the love I should have. God says, I can change that. I can give you a love that you don't have. Joy. I need more joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. How about peace? And you go through those characteristics and you realize that these really are characteristics of Jesus Christ, aren't they? Read with me verses 4 through 7. Love is patient. Could we not say Christ is patient? Jesus is kind. Jesus did not envy. Look at the list. I mean, now we've made it. This was off, I think, an Etsy or one of the craft sites where people were trying to kind of sell you a plaque or something that you could buy for your home. But having a plaque on my wall or a poster on my wall or a screensaver on my laptop, that won't produce the love. It reminds me what it is. It defines it. So love is patient. I mean, Christ is patient. Christ was not rude. Christ is kind. Christ was not self-seeking. Jesus did not envy. Jesus was not easily angered. He did not boast. He kept no record. He was not proud. So the question is, how much like Jesus are we? That will determine how effectively God will use us for His glory. Amen? So you see, the challenge is, life has its ups and downs. There are different pressures and different challenges. And there are times when I really want to be close to Christ and close to the Lord. And there are other times when I keep my distance. I remember in our Sunday school, in our teens class years ago, there was a poster on the wall. It's long gone. They probably have a monitor now. But seriously, on the poster it said, if you're not as close to God as you used to be, guess who moved? Oh, that was haunting. As a teenager, that's convicting. You know, go to a retreat, go to a conference, right? Have a great time there at the fireside and, you know, sing Kumbaya or whatever the songs were in those days, right? And then I come home from the retreat and, you know, my parents asked me to do something I don't want to do. And now I'm kind of thinking more about me and less about him. Now I'm thinking more about my concerns and not his concerns. And I start to drift. I don't have the love. I've lost my first love. There's a passage on that in the Bible, isn't there? And I have to come down, you know, get down on my knees and say, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. I am not as patient as I should be. I get impatient with people, not just on the 401. That does happen from time to time. Would you agree? Look at this list. Follow along. In fact, let's read together. We're going to use the message that's there printed in your bulletin, beginning with the word love. So the first three verses dealing with these gifts, but let's read this in unison as we look at these qualifications. This was a translation or a paraphrase by Eugene Peterson many years ago, sort of a fresh way of translating 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Let's read it in unison. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. What love is this? What would it be like for people coming in off the streets of Ajax, coming off the streets of Durham region, coming into a community that this love is our trademark? What impact would that have? Love is patient. Love is kind. The challenge for this church in Corinth is that they had the tools, they had the equipment from God, but they didn't have the grace of God to use the equipment. They had the gifts of grace. They prided themselves. In fact, the division where I mentioned earlier, where some of them were saying, well, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos. He's my favorite. He's a much better speaker than Paul. Or I follow Peter. I mean, after all, he was with Jesus. And then someone really taking pride saying, well, I follow Christ. And you're thinking, really? It's not God who divided your church. It's not God who led you. Thank God for Paul and Apollos and Peter and Jesus. Amen? God has blessed you with diversity. God has blessed you with a circle of influence, an opportunity to hear His word in a variety of ways, in a variety of settings. My challenge for us is to sort of think through, what does it mean? Let's go to the final slide. What does it mean? What kind of trademark? What is really our passion? What is our desire as we go forward in 2020? What's going to make the difference in terms of seeing more people come through the doors and join up with us? Is it not going to be a fresh touch from God? It's not as if we try harder. Let's work harder. Anybody want to work harder? I know some of you are tired. Some of you have served and served and served and served and served for years in various ministries. We need to get someone to help serve with you. Amen? Can two or three people say amen to that? We need more servants. More people to help. You know, share the burden and you cut it in half. Share the load and it becomes a little easier. You know, just instead of carrying it by yourself, if one person says, listen, what can I do to help? How can I serve? How can I bless you? How can I be an encouragement to you? Well, my prayer for us is that collectively we will track forward with God. We will join with John the Baptist, who said of his cousin, he must increase. I must decrease. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness, see more of his love. There it is. More of his love, who died for me.
We hope you enjoyed listening to Pastor Keith's message, but we'd like to invite you to join us at Ajax Baptist Church, 10 a.m. every Sunday morning, where you can not only hear Pastor Keith live in person, but you can also experience good community fellowship and join us in musical worship and praise. If you have questions about today's message or any other concerns, Pastor Keith would be delighted to hear from you directly. Just call the church at 905-683-4802. We look forward to seeing you soon. Your friends at Ajax Baptist Church.
Bye.